I recently got a quote, and it said, from a professional golfer, and it said, praying, meditating, training, surviving, the struggle, it's all part of the process. But at some stage, you either need to take action or win in the moment. Welcome, Dylan Naidu.
That's beautiful.
That was a very cool intro.
Thank you.
For a change.
Well, Dylan, you've taken the moment and you've won in it. So we're going to dive straight into it. Take us, either it's a week before the Open, wherever you want to start, but I need you to take us through the entire process all the way to you lifting the trophy.
Okay, so the starting point will be that I've been playing a bit crap in the weeks before. I was not very happy with my game. I started the year at Russell Keimer. I had a good week. I felt like I was, you know, building on what I had done at Mauritius Open. I came second there and got my spot into Russell Keimer and played pretty good there. And then I kind of, something went a bit awry. Like, I wasn't hitting it good. I was hitting it all over the place. And 2 weeks in a row, I missed cut by plenty both weeks.
I was actually on the range. Sorry to interrupt you, but yes, it's actually a cool point to butt in. But obviously, I was working at that event on the range, and I saw you practicing quite a lot on the range at times where a lot of guys weren't practicing.
At the SA Open.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
On the range with your quad.
Yeah.
And looking from the outside perspective, it looked like you were struggling.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you were hitting shots, like, I could even see by your body language, like, you was hitting these push fades.
Yep.
And it wasn't starting on the starting line where it was aiming, and I'm like, this is not the week you want to hit it skew.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Durban Country Club.
So I was really struggling with my strike. I was hitting it low on the face, push fade, and it was like, it's the most frustrating shot you can imagine in golf. It's going 10 yards too short, so it's ending up in the crap, you know, in the bunkers, in the water, in what have you. And so, you know, I kind of worked with my team the week before, and we were finding something slowly, but it wasn't there yet. And by Tuesday, I sent a message to one of my coaches, and I'm like, I'm still not happy with this. Like, I'm going to share this with you. I'm still not happy with this, and we need to figure something else out. You know, I know we have a plan, but we need to fast track this plan because I'm not happy with it. And he said, yeah, you know, the last few weeks you haven't been hitting well, and I don't like that we're chopping and changing and moving around, but like, how about you try this? Try this, you know? And as soon as I tried the first shot I hit on the range, I was like, that's it. I know we're going to be okay this week. You know, I didn't have visions of winning the golf tournament. I had visions of, okay, I think I can make the cut with this. You know, I think we're in a better spot now. So did a lot more practice Tuesday, Wednesday. By Wednesday, I was like, okay, it's a bit better. It's a little bit better. Thursday was kind of my trial run for this little technique change we had done. It wasn't a new technique change. It was kind of going back to something I'd done in the past and that had worked, you know, previously. So Thursday was a little bit of like, okay, let's see if this works, you know. And I hit the ball great and didn't make anything. So we played 14-ish holes before the light before it got too dark for us to continue. So came back home and back to the hotel I was staying at, and I said to myself, you know what, that was actually really good. I know the score is level par, but like, it's pretty good. I think I'm in a better space, you know. And Friday morning when I came out, I had a lot more confidence in what I was doing, and made two birdies in the four holes left of that second round. And we just kept on going into round two, and just, round two was obviously spectacular. I shot 61, which is the unofficial course record at Durban Country Club. We had placing, so couldn't make it official, unfortunately. But yeah, so that was really the catalyst. Round two was one of those rounds, everything just goes my way, you know. I made so many putts where it's normally like, yeah, just put good speed and see what happens, and then it goes boom in the hole. Boom, in the hole, in the hole, in the hole. And I was like, whoa, okay, this is becoming a crazy day. You know, we played quite a few times. I had to stop myself from thinking about the score. Like, I think in the interview afterwards, I said that putt on that little short putt on the last hole, it could have been for 59. I had no idea. I was just trying to focus on hitting one good shot and another good shot and another good shot. And so, yeah, so that was round two. And so going from, like, outside the cut line, you know, starting Friday to being one behind Sean Norris going into round three. And round three was so chaotic, so crazy. We had, I think the whole of Durban came to watch, honestly. they were, it was like six rows deep of people following on every single hole. And, you know, we play this game all around the world. And most of the time we're playing away games, if you want to call it. And that one really felt like a home game for me. You know, you had so many Indian people in Durban come to watch.
Of course,
and
baby.
It was a joke how much support I was getting, you know. And it was, the tough thing was, it was a tough day. It was windy, a little bit of rain coming back and forth throughout the day. So it wasn't really like I'm going to light it up and, you know, get the crowd on my side. Like, we're making pars and grinding it out the whole day, you know.
Did you get a cut for that crowd?
A what? A cut? I should have, honestly. So, yeah. And, you know, one of the, you know, you hear as you're walking through the crowd, you hear all the comments and whatever. And the one comment that really sat with me was one of the guys said, you know, you just keep making pause, boy, we'll keep cheering on the pause. And that's how I felt the whole day. It was a tough, like, grueling day of golf. And as we were finishing up, the light was going and they were kind of pushing us to finish. And so we running down 17 and trying to get to 18's tee so I can hit the tee shot. And hit a good tee shot, especially because it was downwind. As we were walking up 17, I was like asking my caddy Shannon, you know, do you think we should speed up or slow down? You know, should we play 18 or should we wait? And he's like, look, it's downwind. I think that's useful for us to hit that tee shot on 18. So let's try and go, you know. Hit a good tee shot and got a little bit unlucky. It ended up in the little pot plants there on the right by the grandstand, and got a bit of a dodgy drop. You know, I'm standing with a hectic slope this way, and I hit a really good shot to like 5 feet. Honestly, couldn't even see where the line was. Yeah. I was using aim point, but I realized in that moment a little bit that I also like look down at my feet and see which one is higher and which one is lower to feel the aim point a little bit. So, like, taking a little bit of a guess. And I saw the replay now of this putt. Honestly, it looked like it should have gone in. I didn't realize how much it lipped out as hard as it did. So, lipped out that one on 18. I mean, fully expecting us to have a full day on Sunday, having no idea what the conditions are going to be like. So, the forecast had said like 1 or 2 mils of rain, very, very light rain, but whipping with wind, and it's going to be, you know, a tough day on Sunday. And so my caddy sent me we do a little bit of a breakdown of the pins on the night before and which ones we're going for, which ones we're being a bit more safe with. And he said, just be ready for the war that tomorrow's going to bring. It's going to be a brutal day and we're going to be ready for it, you know. And so woke up on Sunday morning, 9 o'clock.
Did guys go out in the morning?
Yeah. One guy finished actually in the morning. So I got to the course and it had been raining, not bad, but it had been raining. And I was sitting having breakfast and Hugh Slayton, who I played with the first few days, he looked out and he was like, it's getting a bit touch and go, like the putting green's starting to puddle up a little bit, you know. And maybe 5 minutes later, they called play, and the players came back inside. And then it started raining even more. Like, it started raining double as hard after that for, like, probably 2 to 3 hours. Just absolutely pissed with rain. Like, so, so much rain. So, anyway, so now my dad had flown down. My dad flew down from Joburg to come watch, expecting to be there for the whole day, right? My girlfriend, too. So, they came up, and my dad arrived, as they said, play was suspended for the day. We got a message saying play suspended for the day, like there's definitely not going to be any play today, so, you know, do what you need to do for today. So he's like, oh well, I can't stay for Monday, I got work to do, so let me just book the next flight out. So he gets the next flight. He's driving back to the airport when the tournament director comes to me and says, no, we're going to do the playoff today, probably around 3 o'clock.
So I just got goosebumps.
So I sent him a text. I'm like, I know you're probably in the airport. Like, we're going to play for 3 o'clock. He's like, okay, I'm coming back. So he comes back from the airport. We kind of waited around for a bunch of time. Then one of the journalists, Michael Flissmas, comes to me. And he says, listen, the RNA wants to do a presentation for the open spots. And that's when it like clicked that, okay, shit, like, we're having a playoff and I've got a spot in the open. I've also now come either first or second in the SA Open, depending on how the playoff goes. And with that, I'd played well in these DP events before. Mauritius and Russell Keimer, where I've made enough points to where, because I finished second, I knew I was going to have a DP card for next year with the amount of points that I had accrued.
I didn't know that.
So I would have had a full card for the following season, which would have been a Category 10 card, which is better than a Q school, better than Challenge 2. I would have had a full card. I would have gotten into most everything, basically. So that kind of gave me a little bit of freedom going into the playoff. I spoke to my caddy, Shannon, and I said, look, like, our life isn't going to change depending on how we play this hole, because we're in for next year. We've got a full DP card anyway, so let's go play with clarity and freedom, and let's go make this happen, you know. So that was the first, like, positive thing where I was like, okay, well, this makes it a little bit easier for me. We then had the little open RNA ceremony, yeah, where they give us the
so British this is Open. Not before the playoff kicks
before
off.
Before the playoff.
No, well, here's the thing, because you get the three guys get their open spots, so.
and they all want to leave. They're not going to hang around for the playoff.
Yeah,
I mean,
first and second is already determined.
Yes, Laurie Cantor was already in the open already.
Correct.
So it was myself, Darren Fichot, and Marco Penge were the three of us.
Why was Christian Moss mentioned?
Because he was tied with Marco Penge, but they go off world golf ranking.
Okay, gotcha.
No, sorry, with Fichot.
But world golf ranking, and also a master's an amateur.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have mattered. If he's, let's say, for example, he's an amateur, but his world golf ranking was higher than the other two blokes, he would have got the spot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now we're doing this little presentation, and Darren Fichot, what a lovely guy, what a good guy. He came to me, he's like, oh, this is so exciting for you. He was like, yeah, you've probably got a DP card locked up for next year. I was like, yeah, I do. He's like, oh, I'm so happy for you, you know. And he's done this a few times, so he's qualified for the Open through our South African events. Mm. We're previously in Joburg Open, now obviously this week. So anyway, so now they're interviewing each of us, little 1 minute clip, and I'm watching Darren get interviewed, and he's very nonchalant about it, right? He's done this a couple times. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm over the moon to be playing in the Open, and you know, I'm so excited to be there. And I'm like, geez, I hope one day I'll be this calm about, you know, getting the chance to play in the Open.
Yeah.
So anyway, now we do the ceremony. Cool. I take my flag and my little plaque, and I'm walking to the car, and I said, okay, as I close the boot of this car, I'm not going to think about this until the next time that I open the boot of my car. Word. Because I've gotten to the Open. Yeah. It's done. But now I need to compartmentalize this and focus on the playoff.
You also probably would have said, if you got into the Open this week without winning, you would have taken it.
Of course. For sure. No for doubt. Yeah, exactly. So it almost felt like a win in and of itself. And I had to push it to the side and go, okay, I've won this thing. Cool. Okay, we need to win the South African Open now too. So go. Now they've told us about 3 o'clock we're going to start. This all happened at about 1 o'clock. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm probably going to just go through my full normal routine, hour and a half routine, to play this one playoff hole. But that's just what I'm comfortable doing. Yeah. I know how to do that, so let's do it. So
get the mental game going.
Yeah. Just be ready the way I'm normally ready to play. So
I want to interrupt you there.
Sure.
I bumped into you into the locker room.
Mm.
And you had a routine going inside that locker room. Mm. Now, you can share as much or as little information to what you do there, but it's one of the first time I've seen that. So I've seen people meditate. I've seen people do some stuff, but he did some interesting stuff there that I was well confused. And I'm like, this guy's looking like he's training to go on to a circus.
Yeah. Well, we're still in the story, not at the punchline, so it's a good time.
But it's a good time to interrupt to going to your routine before the actual event.
Yeah, because I swear, I hope everybody feels so well. I actually feel you're going too fast for me. I'm going to take it in a little bit more than this. This is a big one. This is not just a, you know, you didn't just win an event quickly around the corner.
Yeah. So to speak about this stuff that I do, so I work with a really amazing chiropractor. His name is Jason Fife.
Oh, Jason.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I've seen you walking out of the
Every one
office.
Of my customers... on now with Jason. Yeah. I'm telling you, I've got a book of 20 with him. Anyway, shout out to Jason.
Great guy.
Everybody
what
in
guy.
The golf industry is going to know exactly what we talk about.
Yes.
Ben Sunning Hill.
So Jason, great guy, and I think I'm one of the few guys who really takes his stuff to heart. He enjoys talking to me. We have great conversations, and I really he talks quite fast, yeah. And sometimes people just miss what he's saying. So I say, whoa, Jason, I'm going to write this down quickly. What exactly do you want me to do so I can actually do it? So anyway, so we do quite a lot of like eye exercises, how your eyes need to move, how your eyes track, which is kind of more like concussion stuff normally, yeah. But it really like gets your brain firing in a place to compete, you know. So I do a lot of that stuff before I do anything. I do balance. My balance was historically quite poor. And now I'm at a point where I've done so much of this stuff with Jason, it's really improved a lot. I've actually never spoken about this, so good catch there.
Yeah, good catch there. And for Jason.
Yeah, because and for Jason.
I'm behind the scenes. I should go with a GoPro to all the events. Yeah. The amount of stuff I would be able to get, I will be better.
Yes.
Don't give me shit for that. I will be better.
I just want to give you quick context there. Jason, he is so popular with the golfers and athletes. Mm. I mean, half the Springbok teams.
Do you want to put his handle down there to mark
him? No, I will. Shame. I've been with him for 10 years. He absolutely would want to boost him.
I've seen him as well.
But he's the type of guy that you get there and then players send messages to each other through Jason. That's how many athletes, you know. Oh no, I've got this one coming at 2 o'clock. Oh, it's just with him on the race.
Yeah. Exactly. So we do all that to do a lot of balance protocols before I start. And then after that, I do my physical warm-up, which is also a little bit unique. Shout out to my guys. It's one of a kind fitness, which is Devin Brown and Brendan Long, who's also been kind of part of that journey. And they're two American guys, well, one Canadian, one American guy, and they've been such a big help from a physical standpoint for me. So I go through quite a unique physical warm-up as well. Then from there, I went to the they didn't have the range. The range was underwater, so they kind of squeegeed off the first tee at Durban Country Club, and we're hitting balls off the first tee, just hitting like a range basically down the first tee box, down the first fairway, and went through kind of a full routine there, and I realized a little bit late that like everything is a little bit too far forward, like I'm too early with everything because okay. I'm used to going driving to the range, taking 20 minutes there, whatever, coming back. So I've got like 15 minutes left over at the end of my warm-up before it's time to go tee it up, and my caddy kind of saw it, Shannon, and he's like, let's go have a look at the 18th hole, like by the green, let's go, you know, decide where we want to hit this, what the range of outcomes is for what shot we want to hit off the tee, second shot, you know, chip shot, what shot are we looking at, and that kind of killed some time too, which was nice. We get to the tee box and we're waiting around, and funny enough, 3 o'clock hits and Laurie's not at the tee. And so I'm looking around going, mate, you missed your tee off time. Maybe you can just give me that South African trophy now. I can just take it home and we can skip all this playoff stuff. So obviously they would not have wanted that. So we waited around and he came through. I think he went to the bathroom or something. And he's a great guy. And I kind of realized this afterwards. He's basically one of the form players in world golf. I mean, he's 42nd in the world. 100%. He's playing in the players. And I didn't realize that. At the time,
I did. Which is a good thing.
I did with the prep work. That's what we said to each other last night. Mm. And that's when I spoke to Arthur just before. I said to him, I don't think we understand what this occasion. It's almost like the win was like one of the events.
Yeah, exactly.
There was so much other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So we get to the tee box, and I thought he was a little longer than me. I've played practice rounds with him once or twice, and he's so good. He's a really, really great player. So I hit my tee shot kind of down the right side, and it got a pretty good hop there. I was worried it could bounce right. There's like so many different humps and hollows on that right side there on the 18th hole, and it pitched on a reasonable spot and shot forward. On that right side fairway there, and Laurie also hit a good one. And when he hit it, I thought, okay, it's probably going to be close to the green.
Did you have to pull straws to who was hitting first?
Yes, so they had two tees.
You slow down.
Sorry.
So, sorry to those listening.
Yeah, no, we're good.
But the that moment. you were in a normal space like any other event, or did it
were you
elevate?
Nervous? Was there butterflies?
Was there elevation in there?
Did you feel like you were in control of your emotions, like savoring everything?
Because the reason we take a moment on this, we gave ourselves a message before the time. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. That's our message that we gave ourselves. But the reason is because everything in golf comes to this moment. We always say there's a lot of skill on the tour.
Yeah.
Everybody can swing a club on any given day. They're going to hit a 64, 65. Yeah. But it's when it matters. Mm, it's when the brain comes in. Because it's not your golf swing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think two things have changed a lot for me in the last 4 or 5 months. So I started working with a new mental coach, a guy from France. His name is Adrien Laurent. And he's worked with one of the guys on my team for a while, and he recommended it. And it's been a really great journey learning in a different way about myself from a mental perspective. I was working with someone previously from a mental perspective, but it was a different journey that we were going on. And the frequency that we talk has just been so great. We speak twice a week minimum, and we debrief after every single event, and before every event we talk again. And I think that just having access to those memories of like, oh, I was in this situation and this happened and I felt this way. And he goes, okay, let's get into that. Like, why did you feel that way? What part of you is feeling like that? What is the underlying stuff that's going on inside of you? And I think getting deeper and deeper into that has been so useful. It's so difficult. It's really not a pleasant experience. But it's been so helpful for me. And from a golfing perspective, from a life perspective, I could feel the difference, right? So with that in mind, we get to the tee box. And the message for these last few weeks has been, we're trying to win the Sunshine Tour Order of Merit, you know? There's nothing to lose.
Yeah.
If you go miscut, 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 is your life changing? No, you're going to be sixth on the Order of Merit.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's changing. It's only going to be positive anyway, no matter what.
Okay.
So let's go and play. Dare to aim where you're trying to aim it. You know, hit the golf shots that you know that you can hit, and don't be fearful of negative results. Let's, you know, fearlessly chase our goals, you know?
Okay.
And that's been a real help. So we get to the tee box. And before we had even gotten there, I'd spoken to my caddy and I'd said, we've got nothing to lose. It's the same as what it was before we started this tournament. If we lose the playoff, we lose the playoff. Nothing is going to change in our lives, you know? The most important thing is that I have clarity on every single shot. I have a clear picture of where I want to start the ball, where I want to finish it. Happy with the shot I'm trying to hit. And that's why I feel very, like, I didn't feel that, like, the momentous occasion around me. I was very focused on myself and the bubble that I created with myself a little bit, you know? So
you obviously picked the longer tee.
No, so there's two tees that had a one and a two on it.
Okay.
And so I picked there the one. Go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Neil Herman graciously gave me the first pick, and I picked the one, and I said, okay, great. So anyway, so
that was a sign.
That was a sign, for sure. So Laurie's hit his tee shot. I'm thinking it's probably pretty close to the green, right? I thought he was a little bit longer than me, but he obviously didn't catch it the way he wanted to.
And or bounce on the right slope. Or
yeah, whatever. You know, that there's so much like undulation on that right side there at Durban Country Club. So we get to our balls. On the walk up, we actually had a little chat. You know, I asked Laurie, has he been to Durban before? He said, yeah, he played here when he was amateur, whatever. And I said, has he played the redesign? He said, no, it's the first time he's been out here. I said, cool, and we went on our way. He's a really nice guy. He's a real gentleman of the game. So we walk up to our balls, and I see my shot, and I'm immediately pretty happy with it. Like, if I was to place, if someone was to tell me, go place your tee shot at this yardage, anywhere along that line of yardage, I'd probably within 5 yards put my ball there. Okay. Maybe 5 yards further right would have been better, but
a slightly better angle.
But the thing is, even if I pitched in the fringe, it was still going to skid on anyway. Yeah. It's so wet and like
100%.
Yeah, it's so moist anyway. It was going to skid on. So I wasn't too. I know the commentators are like, "Oh, you got the angle perfect." Like I wasn't too bothered by the angle. Even if it had pitched in the fringe, it was still going to skip on no matter what. So yeah. So we get to the ball, and I'm lying a little upslope, and you know, I'm a little bit worried that I can't get it low enough to skip on, that I might have to landed higher.
I'm glad you didn't do that.
Yeah.
He did that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The ball didn't want to stop.
Well, he's getting on the So Shannon then said, hey, how about we just move it a club length back where it's a bit flatter? And I was like, oh, that's actually pretty genius. Like, it was much better there. So, yeah. So
Shannon and his bucks.
He did. Shannon's great. So yes, we moved it to a slightly flatter area and a little bit to the right to get a slightly better angle. And, I was... I've said this a few times, it's a shot that I'm very comfortable with. You know, ball a little bit back in the stance, I can de-loft it a little bit and hit down on it, and I know I'm hitting ball first. It's always going to have a bit of spin on it, and I felt like I could skid it, and even if it bounces a bit hot, it's going to grab at some point. I don't know when it's going to grab, but it's going to grab, right? So, yeah, and it was a nice shot. I obviously hit it really nicely. And as it was rolling up, we can't see from where we're standing. There's that slope over. Mm. And the way the crowd reacted, I thought, geez, it's either like this or it's in. Like, yeah. I didn't know. So it was not that close. And so now we're watching Laurie and myself and Shannon are standing on the side of the green. And we're watching his practice swings. And Shannon says, I think he's going low. And I'm like, no, I think he's going high. I think he's going high. And he kind of did right in the middle. Like, he can talk to it himself, but it didn't seem like he had a clear shot of what he was trying to do. And so it pitched, like, right on top of the slope, skidded and hopped on and went too far. I still assumed he was going to make the putt.
It was still 15, 20 foot. Yeah. I mean, it's still percentage on him making it is relatively good.
He still got a chance, for sure. Yeah. So he hits the putt, and it's kind of, as it started rolling, I was like, I think that's too high, and it just never broke the way he was expecting it to. It did go like 3 feet past. That's kind of people have lost sight of that one. I would have definitely had him make that putt if it was match play. You know, it wasn't a gimme. So I've now got this 5-6 footer to win the tournament. And going back to something that happened previously in the day, I just remembered Darren Fichot's interview. You know, that nonchalant nature that he has, you know, I'm in the open. And I told Shannon, I'm like, I think I need a bit more like Darren Fichot in my life, you know. I need I'm here to win the SA Open, and oh, this place to win it, okay, cool. And so I kind of played this character in my head a little bit before I got the chance to hit the putt. And as I was standing over it, I was still trying to be Darren Fichot, and by the time the putter went back, I was still barely him. And as I hit it, I was like, geez, I really hope this thing goes in. Like, I
please.
And it really rolled well and went in the back with a bit of speed, more speed than I would have liked, but in is in. And then it was, geez, it was a whirlwind after that. It was such a whirlwind. I was like, I felt like my head was on Mars. Like, I was like barely present, honestly. You get mic shoved in your face, and I'm pretty good at talking. I can have a good conversation. Yeah. I can find the words. And it,
like, was going wild.
The words just couldn't come out of my mouth. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to say it. These are things you've dreamt about since you were a kid, you know? And there's the moment. There it is.
I always say, if you practice your winning speech before you actually win, you're not going to win.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, I hadn't thought that far. I hadn't thought even close to that far, honestly. So, I was...
ahead of yourself.
What was the moment when you looked up your head? I spoke to you before you came in here, but what was that initial thought there?
It was... Wow, it went in. It went in. I'm like, there were so many parts of me that, you know, these voices in your head that are telling you, like, oh, it's going to look so bad if this lips out, if it misses. It's such a short putt, you had to win. And, you know, trying to quiet those voices and tell those voices, like, I know you're a part of me. I know you want the best for me. We all want the best for me, but we'll chat afterwards. You know, we don't need that conversation right now. That's not helpful for what's happening in this moment. And to be able to quiet those voices has been such a rewarding feeling in and of itself, you know? So, yeah, the first sensation was, geez, it's all worked out. Like, it's all happened the way I would have wanted it always to happen, you know?
Yeah. I feel like when OG was interviewing you, you were so lost for words and you didn't know what to say, and you were, I can't remember exactly and I can't quote you, but you were like, did this really happen? Or, you know, that whole roller coaster moment that you have in this golf game, like, wanted it all come out, but you didn't know how to get it out.
Mm.
I was curious to know what those words were going to be, even though you were lost for words. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people speak about those things.
I mean, I know what I said in the second interview. The first one was just a camera in my face, and I said, this is a dream. Like, I hope I don't wake up or whatever, something like that. And then the next one, OG starts interviewing me, and he says, you know, how does it feel, whatever. And I said, you know, there's so many hard times in this game, so many low times. Yeah. But there's also been times in my career where I thought I would have done this earlier in my career,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's just this whirlwind of stuff happening in your brain of all these times that you've thought that things were, you know, never going to work out. And also times where you thought, I'll win a major by the time I'm 27. Yeah. You know, golf is such a fickle game. We have so many ups and downs. And yeah, I was trying to process that on the spot, and I didn't have the best words for it.
Yeah.
But I wonder, you know, my own belief system is that it's 100% comes down to the right moment and the right time.
Yeah.
And because, and I'll add some data to it or facts to it and maybe just help me out. And just one, the first guy of color to ever win it. I know Papua never won it, but in Durban in 1963, he won a championship. He actually won 8. I never even knew that. And it, for me, oxymoron, what's the... It was sort of, I went back to that moment. For me, I'm not on a political mind. It was it's sort of a human moment, like how disgusting that he had to take pictures outside in the rain and not even be allowed in the club. And here you are raising the trophy. And I think that's part of why the crowd was there.
For sure. I mean, it's Durban Country Club. There's a special relationship with Durban Country Club for all of us Indian golfers, but also just players of color in general. Yeah. You know, I mean, we had that tournament circled on our calendar from the moment we knew it was at Durban Country Club.
Okay.
You know, I can tell you that Yuraf Premlal, Nikhil Rama, Shannon, my caddy, he probably wanted to win it more than I wanted to win it. Like, after the week, I saw his post about, you know, him and his dad had so many special memories. His late dad had special memories at the course. And he never spoke to me about that once. He never mentioned it. He never said anything. He kept that all inside, you know. And when we got a chance to lift that trophy together, like, I think there was, and afterwards, even afterwards, it feels like I won this tournament. I was trying to win it for myself, but I won it for so many other people at the same time, which is it. You know, we're just golfers. Yeah. I just want to make a putt. I just want to make a birdie. And then when you look up, when you lift your head and you realize, shit, all these people have this story that is so much bigger than just this putt. It reminds you of how connected we are to everything else that's going on around us.
Well, for the first time. Not for the first time, but the moment was bigger than you.
Yes.
And I think selfishly, a lot of people feel that way. You just happen to be the one lifting the trophy. And the significance of your dad, you know, I almost felt it. Because, I mean, you know, your dad knows this better than any one of us.
Yeah.
All the stuff you've gone through. If you don't mind, just give me 3 minutes a little bit on Shannon. Because Shannon is an interesting character. He was with Alexander.
He's been with a lot of people in the last with, 2 years.
Cassandra Alexander.
Yes.
At some stage. But when I met him, he was a content creator. I met him at, what's the golf course there in Edenvale, Sandton, Glendower. But just give us a little bit of insight into Shannon. Give him also thing, because he does amazing stuff for golf.
For sure.
And nobody ever speaks about it.
For sure. I think Shannon is a savant of golf. I think he has seen and predicted trends in content creation 5 years ago, and now it's only starting to happen now. And if he had someone who was backing him from that, he could have gone on and done that easily. He's such a special guy. I mean, we've known each other since junior days. He's a little bit older than me, but we played foundations and stuff at the same time from Central Gauteng days. And so, you know, when I first came out on tour, he was working photography, he was working as a content creator. And I could tell he's just got a very special angle. He's just got a really clever way that he thinks about things. And so we always had a friendship from that time. And even during his time when he was doing, you know, content creation, he was always trying to find me and always trying to do stuff with me. Then he kind of transitioned into caddying. And we've been mates throughout this whole journey. We're talking all throughout, and I can just feel his like frustration with some of his players. You know, okay. Like he wants more. He wants to be part of a team. He wants to be part of something bigger. He wants to be part of this high performing, you know, team. And he got that with some players. He didn't get that with other players. He felt like he was, you know, having to help too much because a coach wasn't involved, because this okay. person wasn't adding enough benefit. And so, you know, he caddied for Nikhil Rama for a while, and they had a nice stint together.
At Joburg Open last year.
Exactly, yes, at Joburg Open, and for a little bit after that too. Then he kind of had a little bit of free time where he had opportunity to caddy for me a couple of Challenge Tour events in the UK. My regular caddy couldn't get a UK visa, so he was going to do the UK stint with me. And we really clicked quite well. That was the first time he ever caddied for me last year in kind of June, July. And it was, funnily enough, it was in Northern Ireland, the first event that we did together, where we'll go back for the Open. So,
my word, yeah.
Yeah, very special. So but at that stage, we're grinding it out on the Challenge Tour. It's really brutal. Honestly, I told my girlfriend as we got in the car after this day at Durban Country Club, I got in the car and you guys know me, I don't swear or whatever. Yeah. I got in the car and I said, honestly, no, I don't even want to say it, but I was very, very happy to not be playing Challenge Tour. I was very happy to not be playing Challenge Tour for the next year, because that was my plan for this season. I was going to be playing a full year of Challenge Tour. So anyway, so Shannon and I have we had that little stint in the UK, and I could see we're going to get along. Like, I think I need to make this more permanent. And so he continued to caddy for another player for a little while after that, and I said, bro, please do the co-sanctions with me. Let's do the co-sanctions and let's see how we go after that, because I kind of lost my caddy who was with previously. And he said, okay, cool, yeah, let's do it. And we had, the first event we did was Depa Creek, where I missed cut.
Great start there for
you. Yeah, great start. Awesome start. And we missed quite a few cuts playing Challenge Tour together too. So anyway, so we missed cut at Leopard Creek, and I actually felt quite positive about the week, and he did too. I thought there was a lot of like good stuff that my game showed, and it just didn't quite work out on the week. And we get to Mauritius, and we have probably one of those like really special weeks where I was like, okay, things are like really, really starting to come into place, you know? And yeah, he gets me. He understands what I need from him. I think he's a great caddy all around. He could caddy for anyone, but he's especially good for me. It's been really nice to have Adrian and him, you know, they talk separately from me, and they have their own conversations, you know, to be the best caddy for me too. And the best caddy for himself, you know, and he just has no ego. We have such
humble
good,
guy,
he's ready to be better always, you know, and I really appreciate that about him.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Mm. And then so is it official?
What's official?
You and Shannon?
Yeah, we've been together now since Leopard Creek. We started
December,
after Mauritius. I said, let's do Challenge Tour this year. So he is ready to grind it out with me in the random little towns that we were going to play in Europe. But he's also very stoked. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
He's
now,
really
now
excited.
You're going on to the. I mean, I do feel quite embarrassed about finding this out only last night that the DP Tour is actually DP Logistics.
Yes.
DP World Tour.
Yeah, DP World is a logistics company.
Yeah. In Dubai. I apologize.
You obviously watch a lot of golf in your spare time. I mean, the adverts is with trains and containers, you know, like...
I'm confessing now, okay? Do you have to rub it in? Okay, so thank you for sharing that with us.
Mm.
I'm conscious of the, but just on...
Oh, also, you also probably get into almost everything, like Wentworth...
Everything. Everything.
All the signature events.
But not exactly on that. You talked about the different cards, okay? The cards on the DP Tour.
Mm-hmm.
What is this card now different to what you were going to get on Sunday before the playoff?
I would have got a category. I would have got a... Yeah, I'm in winner's category now, category 4. I would have got
is there
There's multiple categories.
Multiple.
Yes.
Just take multiple. Us through that for a minute.
The winners categories are probably like, I think two is Rolex, three is over certain prize money, which is the bigger DP events, and then four is our co-sanctioned events, you know, that type of thing is category four. I'm not sure what's between four and ten, but the tenth guy, category 10 is guys who keep a full card, basically. So I think 115, I think, keeps a full card. And then you below that, you have between 10 and 15, I'm not sure, but category 15 is Challenge Tour. So all the guys from Challenge Tour fall in there. And below them is category 17.
Q-School.
Q-School is at the bottom of 17.
Okay.
Potentially 18, I'm not entirely sure. Luckily, I don't have to worry about all this stuff. Yeah, but yes, yeah. 17 and 18 roughly is where the Q-School guys fall in. And our pathway cards from Sunshine Tour. So we have three cards through Sunshine Tour that fall. The highest card is category 17 and the other ones are category 18. So, yeah, to put it in perspective, the guys in category 10 are probably getting into everything. The guys in 17 are getting into maybe 70%, 80% of the events. And the guys in category 18, I mean, I know a couple of guys who got Q-School cards this year. I mean, it's been brutal for them. They've barely gotten into maybe 20% of the events so far. So I would have gotten a pretty full card with category 10, but it would have only started in the following season. So, yeah.
And just tell me when something like this happens, the sponsors that you are with at the moment, you know, let's be honest, they also get their moment.
Of course, yeah.
They don't have to cut it out on the Challenge Tour anymore.
No, exactly, yeah.
But what happens commercially to somebody like you?
Sure, I think I can share.
I think we can all know you've won millions. Okay,
sure.
Arthur's going to borrow some money from you. You know, for the Red Bulls.
Interest-free loan we can do for you, my buddy.
Since he's won US Open, he's wanting free shafts and stuff like that. So run a business.
I didn't say free.
Listen, Arthur, you know I can pay for this, but you know I don't have to. I am a full DP card holder. Yeah. I am the SA Open champion. When are you sending my shaft for me, bitch?
100%. You actually phoned me at like 4 o'clock on a Saturday. I'm like, just because you've won SA Open doesn't mean you can phone me on the weekend. You know what I'm saying?
Dylan, say another 180.
We like giving each other a bit of banter.
Of course. So listen, this is what this is all about. So Dylan's basically done the 180. He's gone from this humble, he's walked in here this morning. I mean, he's barely like, what's up, Alex? Yeah. You know what I mean? Where's my seat? You know what I mean? I see these guys. Okay. And I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's promised me so much and he's just given delivered zero.
Oh, my word.
We're just giving you shit, yeah.
So to talk about the commercial stuff, right? So it came at just a really amazing time for me, because if I look back, if I had won in, you know, a few of my contracts are coming to an end in April, and we were kind of running on Sunshine Tour schedules a little bit, right? So the Sunshine Tour schedule is almost over. We've got two more events. So a lot of those contracts are kind of concluding in April, you know? So if I had won, for example, let's say in Mauritius where I finished second, I would have been in this contract that I had still, you know, signed earlier on until April. We would have been in that situation, obviously with a lot of leverage when it came time to renegotiate. But now we are in a situation, you know, I have a really, really fantastic management company, Progressive. Progressive Sports and Entertainment with Anders Davidson. And he's been honestly...
Is it a local company or...?
He's a Swedish guy, so he's Swedish, and it's between Sweden and the US is where they form, basically. And they saw me when I was playing Korn Ferry Q School. Okay. So it's been a good relationship for quite some time now, probably 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
And yeah, what's so nice is I don't have to get involved. I mean, I'm so grateful to all my sponsors. They've been so, so good to me. Obviously, things are going to have to adjust with what's going to change in my life and the reach that I'm going to have now. So
And the cost
I'm going to incur too. Yeah. So, yeah, to have someone who I know is doing my best, has my best interest at heart from a financial point of view as an agent, he's been so good. And so, yeah, that's been really interesting. And we we're planning to obviously sit down and get all hash all that stuff out. But you know, I couldn't be more thankful to everyone who's gotten to me this to this point already. Yeah. You know,
are they going to get Arthur Shaft?
To be honest, that was actually zero. No, I don't think he'd be Shaft. I'm joking.
I was there on the side giving him some positive feedback. Yeah. You know,
Arthur, that's not what you told me in Monet. You basically said you changed his lie angle, and that was the game.
Yeah. No, he doesn't trust me that fully yet.
Yeah. Do your sponsors get first right of refusal?
That's what we're trying to do. That's how we want to do it. These guys have had my back for as long as they've had. That's the plan. Yeah.
I agree with you because we've spoken to a lot of sponsors and you know, especially on the PGA Show, I've got some horrible stories. Mm, you know, where the guys were with somebody for 4 years, the first win they make, I'm out. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm off to the BMWs and the what's-her-name and the what's-her-name.
The tough thing is in the position that I'm in is you have to take full advantage of the moment.
You've got to.
And so I understand from like from their perspective, it seems one way. And that's why I look at like even in, let's say in soccer, for example, they say, oh, this player's earning this much and he's done this and that. Like the reason that he's earning that much is because the contract was put in front of him and he signed it. From that perspective, you have to take full advantage of the opportunity when it comes your way.
You've got to. Kieran van Wyk, we spoke about the similar thing with him and Under Armour.
Yeah.
Well, Dylan, I think on the open side, is there anything else you wanted to add there, Arthur? I mean, I can go on for another half an hour.
Of course you can. I mean, yeah. You do everything.
I can't swear on this one so much because I had to apologize to Kieran that I dropped a few F-bombs. And he says to me, he just goes... I didn't want to piss off on the armor.
Honestly, shout out to Kieran and how well he played in that PGA.
Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, again, magic of our show.
I mean, let me just tell you, I mean, just to give him a bit more banter, I just feel like I'm in one of those moods. He told Kieran, you have done if all
nothing.
You've done nothing. You still need to prove yourself. And I think you pushed him in a good way to get...
No doubt about it. Did you see a latest comment on our channel? The guy goes, he's not trying to come up for me.
Yeah.
You know, he says, I think the Afrikaans expression, you know, he doesn't know how to express it in Afrikaans because he has to speak English. So it just comes out.
So that is very spot on.
Yeah, I swear. Guys said it on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Just recently. But Dylan, just before we conclude, because I just want to, I know we time crunched here, but on Dylan's side. But thank you for your time again, and the needle that you've moved on this one. We're gonna talk about this a generation 40 years from now, 30 years from now. That's how momentous this occasion is. Because if I go back 30 and 40 years on a couple of things, Retief Goosen won the Open. Ernie Els, Gary Player, and there was one more.
You know, you saw them. You had your picture
in Durban Country Club. Tim Clark.
Trevor Immelman.
Oh, yeah.
Trevor Immelman. Not Tim Clark.
Tim Clark definitely won in KZN.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trevor, I'm not so sure. But
I don't think it was Trevor, but it's okay.
just check quickly for me there, Monet. No, I checked Trevor.
You sound like Theo Von now, where you've got this guy in the background. Just put up a black back for me.
Yeah, we have 17 producers here in the back.
I wanna quickly interrupt on just going back into SA Open now. Obviously, it's a big occasion that you've won. The amount of messages, calls... You name it. What was a couple of those messages, or what? Let me rephrase it and start again. Some of the messages you got, what was the ones that were unexpected, and from who?
There were two that were really like. Well, actually, there was a few. So let's start with Gary Player. That was really, really nice. He gave me a call. We sat down and chatted. I mean, it was really, really nice of him. I didn't expect him to do that. And we had a 5-minute chat, and he's just telling me, you know, I didn't realize he had won at Durban Country Club too. And he said, it was so special to see you and your dad, you know, embrace. It reminded me of me and my dad when I won the SA Open. So that was cool.
Did he ask you to do push-ups?
No, he didn't. He didn't. No, nothing. Surprisingly.
Yeah. Did he tell you to go to the gym?
No, he told me that... He told me some interesting stuff.
Okay. we'll leave that between the two of you.
So that was cool.
But to be fair, he's an amazing person.
Amazing. Yes. People give him shit and I always say bullshit. Yeah. You know,
he deserves...
He didn't have to do that.
Jeff Elmer 1-1. Thank you.
Okay. Where?
I mean, I know better than the pros here.
Well, you don't know where DP World comes from. I mean, come on.
Okay, you know, just take that out for now if you don't mind.
So we've got him. He was cool. I had Gayton McKenzie send me a message.
Oh, did he? Of course he did.
Really nice of him. Yeah. I mean, I've never met him before, so it was very, very nice of him.
He's doing a good job. A
very good job.
Yeah, so him... The Fikile Mbalula also sent me a message.
No,
yeah, former sports minister, which was very, very nice of him. The ANC did a special post for me on their Insta,
they
on their
did.
Twitter.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's like it's things that I mean I would have never even dreamed of that. It's not even something you can like imagine before a tournament happens. You know,
yeah.
These are people who are so outside of the golfing sphere to be influenced by what I'm doing in golf it's ridiculous. It's crazy. So those were cool. I had Mark Immelman reach out to me, which is really nice. He wants me on his podcast, so there you go, another podcast I'll go on to.
Just tell him you are on a really good podcast.
I'll say you know, on the human golf show.
Mark, take a back seat.
Yeah. We've taken 42% of your viewers in America.
So the amount of messages I got was incomprehensible. Before I hit the winning putt, if you told me how many messages I get, I said, cheap. I was probably over 2,000 messages.
Yeah.
Maybe 3,000 messages from people. Individual messages where people have taken the time to say, you're such an inspiration. We're so proud of you. People I've never met before in my life. It was incredible.
Shem, well, I'll finish from my perspective. The first thing is, I don't think people... So I'm in a WhatsApp group. I can't say the WhatsApp group's name. It's not friendly for YouTube. But we all went the same route. So we were like, it's called off. So day carries on.
Yeah, yeah.
TV off. Mm. It's done. Mm. I mean, what are we watching? The rainfall on the... Then it was, I think you started at 3,
yes,
did you?
3 o'clock, yeah.
So at like 10 to 3, the group, and it's hundreds of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Just watch the finish, playoff. There's a playoff. My first reaction is like, guys, you've got this wrong.
Yeah, it's done. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So everything goes back on. Mm. Every TV gets switched on.
I think you phoned me, actually. I was driving back from Durban. Yeah.
I did. Beer started cracking open. And now we all. So I think that for me, it was personally because Nadia, Nadia, Jock, Sean Norris, a really good South African 3-4 weeks, the last 3-4 weeks for South Africans. But we all, and I apologize for even saying this, but we felt it was for us also something incredible to watch and experience. Mm. And so thank you for giving us this moment. Thank you for giving us this moment in history. And, you know, this is exactly what I wanted to say to Kieran. And I think we got it. The intent of our message was you needed to take this moment and win. Mm. You know, that's just the reality, whether it's in business or in sport or even Gator McKenzie, he needed to take the opportunity right there, because remember, there wasn't his first portfolio choice, but he needed in the moment to say, you know what, I'm going to make it the best sports portfolio this country has ever seen. So he's taking the moment, and now we speak about how wonderful and what a job he's doing at the moment. So congratulations again from all of us, Dylan, to you and your family and to your dad and for all the sponsors that stood behind you. Bless you and Shannon together on that tour for the next year. Shannon, I'm very glad you don't have to do challenge tour, and I'm assuming you don't have to live in any caravans.
Yeah. Motel.
It was hairy. The plan was after Joburg Open, I was supposed to get on a plane and go to India to go play in Kolkata and Delhi for two Challenge Tour events.
Okay.
And last night we had dinner, myself and Shannon and my girlfriend and his girlfriend and my mom. And I said, did you even book a flight to India? He said, no. No chance I was going to India. You're going to go find some guy off the street and he was going to go take your bag for those two.
Coming from an Indian guy.
Yeah, exactly.
No, India's fine. I enjoyed India.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a It's a huge shock to the system.
It's a huge shock to the system.
But it's one of the best foods on the planet.
Sure.
Yeah. If you get outside of the mainstream, not the mainstream, but the city life, because the city life to me in Durban is quite hectic. Ach, in India.
Oh, yeah.
That's almost, it's a little bit unbearable.
Tuk-tuk hooters do not stop hooting.
I felt I couldn't breathe there, man.
No, you can't breathe. No. You open your suitcase, it smells like India. It
smells like India.
I'm kidding you.
Yeah, no, it's 100%.
You want to shower a lot.
Yeah.
But the cultural, it's such a cultural experience. Yeah. I mean, you've got to do that once in your life. You actually appreciate how good South Africa is how fortunate we are.
Listen, there's a lot of Durban Indian acts that say that India is to India for them.
I know. It's hectic. It's hectic. Mm.
Anything from your side?
Yeah, I think I'll just close it off. Well done.
Before you,
I think you've inspired a lot of kids, a lot of kids of color, especially. I think it'll be amazing for them to see what you just did.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I think inspiring in sport is huge.
Mm.
And just don't change as a person now that you're SA Open champion. I mean, I phoned him on Monday morning. Was it Monday morning?
Yeah, it was Monday morning. Yeah, yeah.
Seven o'clock. What are you doing?
I can do that to him. Okay.
I was awake. Yeah.
Sorry. I was actually stuck in Harry Smith from the rain. Yes. So then I had to leave early to get to Joburg Open. So I was like, let me phone him and see if he's awake. Because I wouldn't be sleeping.
That's what happened to me.
So I phoned him. He's like, Arthur, what are you doing? I've just won SA Open. You're phoning me at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's like, don't be that guy.
So, Arthur, would you mind working through my team for me, Arthur? Yeah. Arthur, I'll send you his WhatsApp now.
I think he needs to block me. But yeah, super cool moment, and I'm super chuffed for you. And I'm sure the next season on the European Tour is just that next stepping stone for your career.
Hopefully so.
100%.
Mm.
And also to compliment him in front of him, but I would have said this if someone else was sitting here. The way he goes through his job is like that one percentile in this country of how he treats it as a job, goes through his processes, does his routines. It looks like a job. You know, you get some tour pros that come on the range and they just hit balls for the sake of hitting balls and, okay, this is what I've got for the day. He's not missing anything when he does stuff, whether it's sitting at breakfast, going through his yardage book, doing his homework. He's always working on something, even if it's in his spare time. So
I appreciate it.
And then
thank
it comes down to a 18th hole for all of that to come together.
Mm. It all played in his favor. Yeah. I think it couldn't have been painted in a better, let's call it, format for you.
For sure.
And
for
I would have hated. And listen, it would have been nice to win it on day four. Yeah, I would have hated in that weather to try to go win the SA Open with wind and rain like that.
Mm, yeah.
Mm, mm.
So, good job.
Thank you.
Anything from your side?
No, thanks to you guys. You know, I appreciate you guys and everything you're doing with this show. I mean, I've been one of the OGs from the beginning.
Yeah, 100%.
I hope it keeps on going from strength to strength.
Thanks a lot there, Dylan. And to everybody, thank you very much for joining us for another episode. I think this is going to be a brilliant one, especially because Arthur and I kept ourselves.
He's talking about himself, by the way. He handled himself very well.
Thank you, Arthur.
Yeah.
Bless everybody, and thanks for the wonderful support from all of you all the time. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.